it is. How's the chapter start out?
My question.
Yeah, what's the question?
Archimedes says, why do one do engagement in this ghastly warfare if you think of intelligence is better than future work?
Yeah, why? Seems like you're arguing from both sides, telling me to do two different things at once, two opposite things at once. So then what does Krishna explain? What does he say Arjuna should do? Arjuna said, tell me definitely, what should I do? What does Krishna say?
Fight.
Yeah. That means what? It means working. Do it. You got to do karma. Do your duty. But why? What happens if you don't?
Go see
the pretender.
Yeah. Why?
Because your mind will be still on the sense object.
Mind will still be on the sense objects, and okay, why don't you just quit? Avoid it. Get, you know, so much entanglement, all this work, and why don't you just say, just skip it?
Not possible.
Why not?
Because the mind is always...
Yeah, why else?
Because to do the duty is simple.
Because by nature the soul is active. And
yeah, and?
One has to act according to one's nature.
Yeah. Soul's active, and he's picked up some material qualities, and he's practically forced to act. Can't say, okay, I'm not going to do nothing. I'm going to stand here on the sidelines and not get involved. He's going to be forced to act according to his nature. So he should act, but how should he act?
As a sacrifice for Vishnu.
As a sacrifice for Vishnu. Yes. He should act for the sake of yajna. Now, in the Vedic literature, there's a yajna system. What is it, basically?
Demigod
sacrifice
for Vishnu.
That's the ultimate thing, but generally? Yeah, okay, let's hear it. There's a circle. How's the circle go?
Food comes from the rain. Rain comes from yajna. Yajna is...
Yajna comes from?
Prescribed duties.
Prescribed duties. Where do they come from? Where do the Vedas come from?
The Supreme Lord.
From the mouth of...
So then, what's the conclusion? What do you find in the Vedas?
They all I need to understand Krishna.
What is it that's situated in the Vedas that we're interested in?
Knowing Krishna.
What is it that's situated in yajna that we're interested in? What is it that's situated in prescribed duties that we're interested in?
Satisfaction of Vishnu.
Who is it for?
Satisfaction of Vishnu.
Receiving the mercy of the Lord.
It completes the circle? Yeah, transcendence. Grain, food, everyone depends on grains. Grains come from rain. Rain comes from sacrifice. Sacrifice comes from prescribed duties. Prescribed duties come from the Vedas. Vedas come from the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the Supreme Lord or the Supreme Transcendence is situated in acts of sacrifice. If you don't participate in this system of sacrifice, what are you?
Thief.
A lousy thief, that's what you are. Okay. A person who's not taking part in this system of sacrifice is just living for sense gratification. Adhayur Indriya Ramo Mogam Padma. He's living for nothing. His life is really. Okay. Now we come to text 17. yastratma ratir eva syad atma triptas jamanabaha atmanyeva jasantushtas tasya karyam nididyate. Now we come to a person who really doesn't have to do anything. A person for whom there is no prescribed duty. Who's that?
Self-realized
person, Krishna conscious person. There's no duty for him. He has nothing to aspire for in the material world. He has no desires. He's beyond the modes of material nature. He's satisfied in himself. So for him, there's no duty. No duties at all. He's not a Brahmin or a Kshatriya or a Vaishya or Shudra. He's transcendental. No duties for him. But naiva tasya kritena arto na kritena na kashtana nachasya sarva bhuteshu kashtana arta vyapashraya. On the other hand, he has no reason not to perform prescribed duties. Got no reason to perform them. Nothing that he's going to gain. If I do this yajna, then I'll get this. I'll get a good wife. I'll get money. I'll get health. He doesn't care about all that, so he has nothing to gain. And he has no reason not to do it either. Tasmad asakta satatam karyam karma samachara asakto yacharan karma paramapnoti purushaha. Therefore, one should act as a matter of duty, asakta, without attachment. Everyone's acting, they're performing all this karma to get something. The self-realized person should continue to perform the duties, but without caring about the result. Karyam, just because it's supposed to be done. You'll come in the last chapters of Bhagavad Gita. You'll find that this is sacrifice in the mode of goodness. When you do it, just because you're supposed to do it. Not thinking, what am I going to get out of it? Just like a person who gives charity. He gives charity thinking, well, I'll give $100 and I'll get my advertisement in the in the souvenir. That's in the mode of passion. He's thinking, what am I going to get out of it? Person who thinks, yes, it's my duty, I should give something for charity, he's in the mode of goodness. So here, asakta satatam karyam karma samachara, asakta, twice it's mentioned, asakto, he should definitely act acharan karma, paramapnoti puja. And that way he'll attain param, the supreme, the personality of God. Now Krishna is going to elaborate this. This is again, takes several verses where Krishna is going to make this point. Karmanaiva hisang siddhim astita janakarya loka sangraham evapi sampashan kartum arhasi. Krishna gives an example now. That Janak Maharaj, who's Janak Maharaj?
Father
of Sita, father-in-law of Lord Ram. He also attained perfection just by performing his prescribed duties. Therefore, you should also do it, loka sangraham, sampashyam. You should consider the welfare of others and act to set an example. Clear? I said every now and then I'm going to point out something in the old Bhagavad Gita. You have the old one, right? Could I borrow that for a second? This is one of those weird ones, I think. I think it is. Let's see. Yeah, follow along. You all have books, right? Get to the purport of text 20. Janaka was the father of Sita and father-in-law of Lord Sri Ram. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll read you the old edition. You'll see what the things that happen. Being a great devotee of the Lord, he was transcendentally situated, but because he was the king of Mithila, a subdivision of Bihar province in India, he had to teach his subjects how to fight righteously in battle. He and his subjects fought to teach people in general that violence is also necessary in a situation where good arguments fail.
Good arguments fail.
No, what happened there?
Well, left something out, didn't they? Want to read it out? For the record?
Janaka was the father of Sita and father-in-law of Lord Rama. Being a great devotee of Lord, he was transcendentally situated. But because he was the king of Maithilya, he had to teach his subjects how to perform prescribed duties. Lord Krishna and Arjuna, the Lord's eternal friend, had no need to fight in the battle of Kurukshetra. But they fought to teach people in general that violence is also necessary in a situation where good arguments fail.
Okay. These things happen, you know. Editorial mistakes. Okay. Now that point is going to be further made. We saw that Janaka acted to show prescribed duties. Krishna and Arjuna acted, and now Krishna is going to make that point explicitly a couple verses later. But here he says, and this is an important verse, often quoted, yad yad acriti sreshtas tad tadeve taro janaha sayat pramanam kurute lokas tad anuvajate. What's the meaning?
Whatever the actions great men perform,
common men follow.
Yeah, people follow their leaders. If the leader, what is they say yata raja tata praja. As the king,
kingdom.
So the people. So whoever, you know, people will say, well, but you know, Jayadwaita Swami did it. Or, you know, I heard this senior devotee chanting Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe. Or, you know, but, you know, this one does it or that one does it, you know. What's wrong? Prabhupada always used to quote, example speaks louder than precept. And our teacher is what is called what?
Acharya.
Acharya means what?
Teaching by example.
Apani Atri Prabhu Jivire Shikaya. Lord Chaitanya Prabhu, Mahaprabhu, taught by his example. So the leader has to follow. He has to be ideal. He has to show what it is that he's talking about, not simply say one thing, do another. A leader cannot teach the public to stop smoking if he himself smokes. So, yadyaratri tishreshtas. Now Krishna says, name parthasti kartavyam, trishu lokeshu kinchana, nanavaptam avaptavyam, varta eva chakarmani. Kartavya means that which you're supposed to do, prescribed duties. Krishna says, I don't have any prescribed duties. In all the three worlds, there's no question of prescribed duties for me. Hey, I made the system of prescribed duties. I'm not under the system. That later Krishna himself will say. Tasya kartaram api mam. Siddha kartaram api mam. No prescribed duty for me. And still, I follow prescribed duties. I'm doing it. Why? Yadi hi aham navarteyam jatu karmanyatandutaha mama vartmanu vartante manusya partha sarvasya. If I didn't do it, nobody would do it. Atandrita. Very carefully I perform prescribed duties so that people will follow. When Krishna was at Dwarka, we saw how he was performing his prescribed duties, getting up for Mangalarti and giving charity and doing so many things according to the Vedic direction, just to set the example. He doesn't have to do it, but just to set the example. Just like Prabhupada was following so many rules and regulations, he didn't have to do that. Or the Goswamis. Why did they have to follow, tapasya and all that? Because they're self-realized souls. They didn't have to do anything. They weren't like neophyte devotees that had to follow all these rules and regulations. But lokanam hitakarinam, for the benefit of others. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so many times he set the example for others, not because he needed it. He didn't need to accept a guru, but to set the example for others. Yes?
Maharaj, Krishna is setting the example for people to follow, but then in Vrindavan...
Vrindavan, he gets a little funny sometimes. Yes, that point is discussed by, I think, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that Krishna follows prescribed duties just to set the example, but sometimes he also breaks the system of prescribed duties just to favor his devotees. He promised not to fight in the battle of Kurukshetra, but then just to favor Bhishma Dev, he broke his promise. And to favor Arjuna, he broke his promise. So Krishna sometimes departs from the system just to favor his devotees. But then if someone says, well, Krishna also... No. Therefore it said one has to follow the instructions of the powerful and not try to imitate them. There's an example given that the demigods travel by flying. But if I think I'll also fly, no. I'll get from here to the ashram just by flying through the air. No, it's not possible. That privilege belongs to the demigods. We can't do that. So Krishna, he can do whatever he likes. So sometimes he does something unconventional for the sake of the devotees. Let's see if that's in here. Maybe that's where it's at. Although Krishna generally does not transgress scriptural injunctions, he occasionally does so to please his devotees and to exhibit his supreme independent position. So if a discrepancy exists between Krishna's words and his actions, his words should be followed. No one should imitate Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead, and act against Shastras. So that point is there. We do that with our parents, They tell us... They generally set the example and they tell us, see, I'm doing this, now you do this. And then sometimes they do things that we can't do. Yeah, whatever it might be. And they have to say, well, no, that's for grown-ups. Of course, sometimes their example also is pretty bad, but that's a different thing. But generally, they say, no, now you have to... You have to take rest early because you have school tomorrow. But you're not sleeping. Why should I sleep? Well, it's a different story. Okay, anything else? Okay, we're moving ahead. Utside yuri me loka nukuryam karma chedaham sankarasya tukartasyam upahanyam ima prajaha. Now, there's an interesting argument. Oh, good, this verse comes right up here. Great. Krishna says, if I didn't perform my prescribed duties, I'd be the cause of unwanted population. How's that?
People follow him. And then people would go against the they'd have no faith in authority.
Yeah, how do you get unwanted population out of that?
Well, this Varnashrama will be broken. And if people will not follow their duties, there will be no Varnashram.
How does that happen? I mean, I don't get the connection.
We would be dancing with the gopis like Krishna.
Yeah, basically, it comes down to this in plain gross terms. If people don't follow the Vedic literature, what will they do? They'll screw around.
They don't marry anymore.
You know, they'll just, you know, this one will be going to bed with that one, that one will be going to bed with this one. They'll just be mixing it up. You know, because it finally comes down to that. Well, you know, if there were no rules and regulations in the world, what would you do?
Sex.
You know, what comes to the mind, first thing that comes to mind of the materially polluted souls? Yeah, it's the big S, you know? That's finally what it comes down to. Well, if all the rules were off, I'd grab this one and that one and this one and that one. So that's what Krishna, and that's what we see. Vedic literature is like, you know, we don't believe in that stuff anymore. Even in Barak, you know, the Bible is like, you know, blow the dust off it every 20 years. So what's the result? Everybody's cohabitating, as they so nicely say. And then what happens? Then you've got all this unwanted pregnancy all over the place. Yeah, you've got marriage, unwanted population. And then, you know, wars, you know, so many things. Sankaro Nadaka Yaiva. The unwanted population makes the world hellish. So it finally comes down to that. If I don't follow my duties, and so that people get the idea of what they're supposed to do, everybody will be, you know, that's stated in Bhagavatam in the section where Sringi curses Maharaj Parikshit. After the king is cursed, his father, the boy's father, Shamik Rishi, what have you done? Now you've cursed such a pious king, there'll be no administration, and people will live like dogs and monkeys.
That's what I said. That's what I said.
That's what you said, dogs and monkeys.
Now that people will not follow their duties, they will fall down, and then will be unwanted progeny. It will be...
Oh, you said that? Okay, you were right. I just didn't get it.
What happened in the case where Brahmachari and Brahmachari break the principles and there's like pregnancy?
What happens? You just told what happened.
Now maybe he was thinking, what should be done?
What's the question?
Yeah.
They get married.
Yeah, and there's pregnancy and then
they marry after
the baby is born.
Yeah, then? What's your question?
Is there no chance of that child becoming like, you know?
Is there a chance for us? Chant Hare Krishna.
Like even if they still continue in devotional service, is there no chance of being purified from that sinful act?
Yeah, everyone can be purified from their sinful acts. Otherwise, how did we join? But it's not very good. It's not very good that you join a spiritual movement and then, you know, the men start mixing with the women and having little bastards. That's not the idea. Now, if such a thing happens, well, you know, life goes on. But it's not very good for his reputation, not very good for her reputation. Not very good way to beget a child. The whole thing is not very good for preaching. Not a very good example. Not very good for your spiritual progress. But all right, you know, somehow carry on. What is that? Chipram Bhavati Dharma. Garbhadhan Samskara for ISKCON devotees, what does it consist of?
And Prabhupada said that before beginning chant, devotees should chant 50 rounds that our Garbhadhana Samskara.
Yeah, that's the main thing. They chant 50 rounds, Hare Krishna. Actually, the permission of the spiritual master should be solicited first. What's the use of this? Because your consciousness cannot be changed in one day. Consciousness can be changed in 1 minute. You chant 16 rounds, you feel the same way as if you didn't chant 16 rounds? Like, what's the use of taking a bath, you know?
If you don't think about following the prescribed duty, then you already change your consciousness in that second.
Yeah, I mean, what's the difference between, you know, like, following and not following? It's consciousness. All right, I'm supposed to do it, let me do it. Even that, you know, even if it doesn't do anything for me, I'm supposed to do it, let me do it. That's different from, it's not going to do anything for me anyway, so why do it? You know, where's your consciousness under those circumstances? You know, actually going to Mangal Arati doesn't really do anything. I don't feel anything when I do it anyway, so I might as well not do it. Actually chanting my rounds, you know, I don't feel any more Krishna conscious at the end of my 16 rounds. So, I mean, you know, why do, you know, that shows where your consciousness is. So, you know, why chant 50 rounds, you know? Prabhupada said it, but he didn't really mean it. And anyway, you know, nobody else does it. And you know? Okay. But someone else is serious that this is serious business. We have to get a nice child and purify our consciousness by chanting Hare Krishna, following some principles. There's a difference.
I can give one live example. It was in Encinitas, near San Diego.
I hope it's not too live.
Live. So there were two brothers. His name is Bharat, and Ashok is his brother. So both of the wives of this got pregnant more or less the same time, and both of the deliveries were sort of in a split of a week. But Bharat was coming to our San Diego temple, always Krishna consciousness. Both of them have got very big business, motel business. And the other brother and the wife, they are into movies and this and that and nightclub. Both the children, like Bharat's son, Nimai, when he comes to the temple, his Krishna consciousness. And the other child, he comes and smashes first the door. Once Badrinath Prabhu said, throw this way out. He breaks everything. If they leave him alone in the house, he destroys the house. So, this is the difference.
And you may not find out for another 10 or 15 or 20 years what the difference is.
A friend of mine told me when he was begetting his first child, they both chanted 50 rounds. He chanted 100 rounds. And he said, after chanting 50 rounds, 50 good rounds, you're not into sex life because you got some taste from there. And if you force yourself to chant 50 rounds, after chanting 50 rounds like that, you're not into anything, especially not sex. So do it out of duty.
Very good.
Okay. Here Prabhupada makes a quote furthering this point that we can't imitate Krishna's unconventional activities, but we have to follow his instructions. And the example is that you can't drink the ocean of poison imitating Lord Shiva. For those who are powerful, their Ishranam Bhaja Satyam, their words have to be followed. sakta karmanya vidvamso yata kurvanti bharata kuryad vidvams tata shaktas chakirshur loka sangraham. So here's two kinds of people, vidvan and avidvan. Vidvan means those who have knowledge. And avidvan, no knowledge. Stupid, ignorant. So, sakta karmani avidvamsa. The ignorant people perform duties or work. Why?
For the results.
Yeah, they're attached to the results. That's why they're working. So, vidvan, a person who has knowledge, he should also act, but asapta, without attachment. Shakirshur, lokasangya, to set the example for others.
How is it possible to act without attachment?
How is it possible to act without attachment?
To naturally expect something.
Naturally expect some result. I gave the example that we had this college student, I spoke about that, right? This Hindu boy who was a student, and he was trying to explain how Bhagavad Gita means that you just work and you don't care about the result. You know, and the guy's like, you know, you can bet your life he's sweating bullets over his exams. So how are you, how do you be detached from the, unattached to the results?
You offer either all of it or a portion of it to,
yeah,
to Krishna.
You offer it to Krishna.
To the,
you think that, well, this is what I should be doing for Krishna. Of course, just out of knowledge, a person may think that, wow, if I just act for the results, I'm going to get entangled in the results. Huh? So better to act without so much attachment, and then I'll be better off. I should just do it because it's my duty, but not worry so much about the result. That's like gyan. A gyani, may, a person who has some knowledge, may think, whoa, by acting with attachment, I'm getting entangled. Better to act with some detachment. But that's hard to maintain just by, you know, philosophy. Better if one's engaged in Krishna's service. Everything fits together. It's practical.
That was very result-oriented.
That also. It's hard to give up being result-oriented. Better to be result-oriented for Krishna. Then you're no longer materially attached. You're attached to satisfying Krishna.
Actually, I think he knew we were results-oriented and we engaged that potential.
Yeah. Okay, shall we move forward? Okay, so better to work, even if we don't have to. Even if we're in the transcendental category, and even in devotional service, that same thing is shown, that the advanced devotees don't have to follow all these rules and regulations. Still, they follow them to set the example. So, broadly, everyone has some prescribed duties. One should follow the system of prescribed duties, even if you're self-realized. Or, very specifically, Arjuna, even if you're detached, you should fight. Nabudhi vedam janayet agyanam karma sanginam joshriyet sarvakarmani vidvan yukta samacharan. Bhudi bhedam means screwing up someone's mind. Bhed means division. So disrupting someone's intelligence, better not to do that. Karma sanginam, those who were attached to fruitive work. Joshayet sarva karmanya. Rather, he should work in devotional service, set the example, and in that way engage others in gradually developing Krishna consciousness. Dovetailing, Prabhupada says. Joshiyat, he should dovetail. realized soul in Krishna consciousness should not disturb others in their activities or understanding, but should act by showing how the results of all work can be dedicated to the service of Krishna. He should act in such a way that the ignorant person working for sense gratification may learn how to act and behave. Then Prabhupada says, although the ignorant man is not to be disturbed, a slightly developed Krishna conscious person may directly be engaged in the service of the Lord without waiting for other Vedic formulas. For this fortunate man, no need to follow the Vedic rituals, because by direct Krishna consciousness, one can have all the results of following prescribed rules. Prakrite kriyamanani. Yes? There's a question there?
That statement by Srila Prabhupada here is just stating that a devotee doesn't have to be situated in the Varnashram. It's not important.
Where are you looking?
Just the last part of the purport there, a slightly developed Krishna conscious person.
Someone's working in the material sphere, so rather than just encourage him, good, 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 just do that and give your $20 a month and we'll be happy, or just keep working and don't be attached, that's nice. If we see the person's a little inclined to be engaged in the service of Krishna, then we can say, hey, this is less important, that's less important, give more time for the service of Krishna, don't worry about, so many programs to keep your relatives happy and this and that. Give more time or give full time for the service of Krishna. Just like our men. How have you joined the society? Someone encouraged you, why waste time with whatever it was that you were doing? This is more important, why don't you do this? So because you had some inclination, you thought, all right, let me try. Otherwise, if somebody's I don't think I could, I got to do this and I got to do that. Well, all right. Then chant Hare Krishna and carry on. We can't somehow or other try to pry a person loose and then it becomes impractical anyway and then the person's not doing anything. And all right, you be engaged. It requires some intelligence. All right, you be engaged, but chant Hare Krishna and give some contribution and come to the temple. And someone else, why just be a pious man and give $20 and come to the temple on Sunday? You could do so much more. So it's some judgment. Experience judgment. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, someone, he said, no, you just stay at home and don't. I don't want to hear about your leaving family life. And someone else, why are you wasting time in family life? Yeah, also even Raghunath Das Goswami. No, don't be a monkey sannyasi jumping and jumping. Better that you be Krishna conscious on the inside and look like a materialist on the outside. But then, by the mercy of his spiritual master and the mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, Raghunath got out.
The Prabhupada here, he said to one sannyasi, you should stay in Vrindavan, and to someone else, he said, you should
not. Yeah, one sannyasi saying, why should you be stuck up in one place? Sannyasi should never stay in one place more than 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
Rolling stone gathers no moss. You should always be moving.
Rolling stone gathers no?
No moss.
No.
Same. If you stay in one place, you'll get attached. So better to keep moving, and you're a moving target. You'll be harder for Maya to hit. Just always keep traveling, keep preaching. That's the beauty of a sannyasi. They turned around and said to another sannyasi, "So you always stay in Vrindavan.
Mm-hmm.
Never leave Vrindavan.
Yeah.
You temple president. You stay here, do everything. But Prabhupada, no, no." Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha. Ahamkara vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate. Another very important verse. Everything is being done by material nature. But the bewildered person, again, vimudhatma, kartaham iti manyate, he thinks I'm doing everything. It's actually being done by nature's arrangement, and he thinks it's my arrangement. That's maya. Person in material consciousness is convinced by false ego that he is the doer of everything. He does not know that the mechanism of the body is produced by material nature, which works under the supervision of the Supreme Lord. He has no knowledge that ultimately he's under the control of Krishna. He takes all credit for doing everything independently. That's the symptom of his nescience. Because we have this body, it will act in a certain way. It's not because, you know, I figured it out. If you look, like, step back and see how the world's working, you know, people are working like ants. The ants are working because nature says, okay, now it's time to go out and look for sugar. So the little ants go trooping out and looking for sugar. It's not because they've said, okay, all right, now, you know, let's make a philosophical analysis and decide what's the best thing to do under the circumstances. They're just acting under the dictations of nature. So when you look at the grand canvas of humanity and what they're doing, they're basically following what material nature is telling them to do. Just like the body is growing, and the mind is growing, and the activities are going along with it. Okay, now grow up, now get attracted to a girl, now, you know, now get together and have kids, yeah. Now become attached and live in householder life and work hard and pay bills. Now, you know, start losing it and getting old and, you know, retire somewhere and watch television all day or, you know, whatever it is. They're under the dictate, or someone is under the mode of ignorance he's being dictated to. Now drink, now, you know, sleep in the gutter, now do this, now do that. Or a person in the mode of goodness, he's getting the dictation that, you know, why should you waste your time with all these other people? Why don't you, you know, search after spiritual realization and read books and, you know, do something for self-purification? According to the modes of material nature that are coming along with the body, people are, practically speaking, forced to act. They're forced to act, yes.
Is this some place where Krishna says that I direct the wandering of all living entities?
18th chapter. I direct means through my material energy I'm directing, or through as the super soul I'm directing. Okay, we'll carry on with this point a little bit. Today, should we take a break? Yeah, we started it.
It's our third class in a row, too. What is Bhagavatam? The regular mode?
Oh, yeah, I got to do three classes today, too. Or two classes. Anyway, we'll stop after a couple of minutes. So, material nature is dictating. Now do this, now do that. So, does the living entity have any freedom?
Free will.
That's a slogan. What does it mean?
Independence.
Independence. What does it mean?
You can decide whether you follow.
You can.
But how? If everything's dictated by prakriti, material nature, what independence do you have? What free will do you have?
Free will desiring.
Yeah, but if I'm in the mode of ignorance, it's like a done deal. I'm going to desire, you know, Jack Daniels and a, you know, all ignorant things.
You can choose which mode of nature to associate with, or even you can associate with.
How is it up to me? You know, my parents are gangsters and they smoke and drink all the time and swear like troopers. And, you know, where's my free will? Good. The lower modes give you less leeway. person in the mode of goodness has his eyes in his head, he can make informed choices. The person in the mode of ignorance. So there's a little more freedom when you're in the higher modes. Things clear up a little bit. But still, a person in the mode of goodness, doesn't he do what the mode of goodness tells him to do? You know, now go out and buy, you know, organic food. Now go out and you know, buy natural, you know, buy those non-violent cosmetics. Now, you know.
How does someone in the lower modes make advancement when if they're totally under the dictation of the modes?
Yeah, let's hold that question and come back to it because we're following a line of thought.
There's a verse in the 13th chapter, I think, that explains that the modes, they fight for domination.
Modes are fighting for supremacy. But if you look, you know, in the scholar, the mode of goodness may be fighting with a little bit of passion and, or maybe even now and then a little ignorance. But you look at the guy in the bar and it's like, you know, if goodness and passion are fighting in there to get in there, they're not fighting very hard. You know, maybe little passions sometimes getting in, not much goodness. You know, so somebody, like colors, somebody's bright red, someone's bright blue, someone's bright yellow, someone's mostly red and blue, someone's mostly red and yellow. But, you know, if everybody's under these modes, where's the free will?
Well, Krishna says that the pious people, those who attend the mode of goodness, they can actually get freed from the modes. And like the verse about the Mahatmas, they surrender to the Devi Prakriti. So then they actually free from all the modes altogether.
Okay, a person in the mode of goodness can advance towards spiritual realization. Sattvam sanjayate jnanam, he gets knowledge. So he can advance.
Well, you were talking about how someone in the mode of goodness, he acts upon the pushings of, okay, I should go buy healthy food, I should do that. But still, there's a decision that goes on there. You know, the intelligence
making
makes
a decision.
Decision.
You know, should I buy Jack Daniels or should I buy, you know, Wolf Smith Vodka? You know, there's decision, but is he really making the decision? Is he, you know, or is he just like doing what he's pushed to do?
He's making the decision within the frame that he's allowed to make decisions. For example, a prisoner may say, I have a free will to do whatever I want. Yes, inside your prison cell. So inside, in there you can do whatever you want. You can, you know, do yoga, sleep, read, exercise. But you cannot leave the prison cell.
Well, how much free will does that amount to? Yeah, it's restricted, but then it means, you know, practically I have no free will. I'm forced to do this, I'm forced to do that, and I'm forced to do the next thing. You know, Judy walks by and I'm forced to say hi.
Then there's also the factor of time. Is that as time progresses, just like someone who's an animal, eventually will slowly, his consciousness will elevate and he will become a human being eventually. So similarly also, someone may be trapped in certain cell, but as time goes along, that consciousness
is it
change.
Like that if you're in the mode of goodness, ignorance, and just let time go, and you'll gradually rise to passion?
I would say until one gets to the human form of life, then
yeah, that we accept.
That's
up to human life. We know it's like because the animal always acts like an animal. You never see a tiger stealing oranges, so they actually follow exactly what they're supposed to do. Now we come to the human form, and it's a free for all. Everybody's doing anything. Now, are they doing everything because they have all this freedom and it's, we, you know, it's democracy and it's a free country and we can do what we like? Or are they doing it because they're like actually bound hand and foot? Because as soon as, you know, Calvin Klein puts his big CK over there, you'll say, I gotta buy that. Because you're motivated by passion and you hardly have any control over the matter. What's the story?
We are bound by the modes, but at the same time, we know that human being has higher intelligence.
Human being has higher intelligence, supposedly.
So,
But then what's the meaning of Krishna saying this, that everybody is acting according to the modes of material nature? If it's all about this higher intelligence thing, hey, I'm not working according to the modes of nature, I'm working according to my intelligence, which tells me, you know, buy Calvin Klein because it's really the superior thing and it will get you, you know, make you attractive to those desirable people of the opposite sex, and da 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 da. This is all choice. Not that I'm being dictated to by any modes. Okay, got it? It's a free country, I'm independent, I do what I like. It's all by choice, it's all up here, got it?
If one comes in contact with a pure devotee, and instead of listening to his own mind, listens to the instructions and follows the instructions of a pure devotee, then one can become free from the lower modes of nature. And
that's a pretty big if.
Yeah.
Most of us don't come in touch with any such pure devotees. We bomb around, yes.
My point is like a little bit similar as it was before, that right now we're like in prison. In prison it's expected that you don't have the free will. You have only a certain limited according to like a higher self, lower self, so that's kind of expected. So the point of free will is to be freed from the prison, and then we'll actually experience the free will.
So how much free will do we have?
Well, there's the example of how when one gets on a plane, one is destined to go to a destination. But when one is on the plane, one can interact with different people and maybe make some connections. And then when one lands, then whatever happened on the plane affects the future. So
yeah,
similarly,
we
may be in the cell, but you know, cellmates around us through their association, we may.
How much freedom do we have then?
We have no freedom.
We think we have freedom.
Yeah. But because of the bewilderment.
Because of the bewilderment.
But
that's what's said here. Vimudhatma, he's bewildered.
Yeah. Actually, it's all done by the modes.
It's all done by the modes.
Like
Gunai Karmani Sarvasha. It's all done by the modes.
Krishna is. We are the part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna is the free will, complete free will. And we, as the part of Krishna, have his free will, the religion.
We're part and parcel of Krishna, he has free will, so we have free will very little.
Very minute. But at the.
I'm going to, because people want to take a break. Yes, we have free will, but it's really thin. It doesn't amount to a whole heck of a lot. We really overestimate how much we're acting due to free will. Mostly we're just carried away helplessly by the modes of material nature by which we are bewildered. But there is a little free will. And Baladev Vidyabhushan gives a very nice explanation in his Vedanta Sutra commentary, that essentially our free will lets us follow Krishna's directions or not follow Krishna's directions. Follow the Vedic injunctions or not follow. Someone says, no, it's all modes of material nature, I have no choice in the matter, no, you have that much free will. What's the evidence? That otherwise, why would Krishna give these injunctions? What's the use of telling somebody to do something if the person can't listen anyway? If the person has no choice, why tell him anything? So the Vedic injunctions are directed to the human beings. If the human beings had no free will, the injunctions could be directed toward the body. My dear body, do this. But it's directed toward the human being because he has that much free will. Follow Krishna's directions or not follow. How much play does he have? Not much. How much, you know, slack? How much scope? Not much. As you were saying, Jason, comes to the mode of goodness, it's more. Goes to the mode of ignorance, it's less. But when he comes to the transcendental stage, then he actually uses his free will properly. Okay, let's take five.
Spiritual energy is unlimited. Material energy is unlimited.
I heard some pretty spirited discussion going on about free will there. It's a very interesting subject to think about and observe, you know, to look at the world, taking into account this instruction from Krishna. How much people think they have free will, and how really all they have is minute free will, not unlimited independence. I can be whatever I make myself.
It seems the only free will you have, if you're right in the bottom, mode of ignorance, is actually to change your path. That's the only free will. You know, upgrade to passion and upgrade to goodness and goodness.
Yeah, if you cooperate with the directions of higher authorities, you can gradually be lifted out of the muck. And if you don't, not much can be done for you.
What I find most interesting is that people who have the least freedom or the most bound, they imagine that they have so much.
Yeah, people who are the most bound imagine that they have the most freedom. The hippie movement was a good example. You know, all these people who dropped out and they, you know, they were free and so on. And they were just like acting out a predictable trajectory dictated by the modes of passion and ignorance. Maya got him again. You know, Maya gets you this way, Maya gets you that way. Now there's a new generation of, you know, young people who are, you know, want freedom and are not going to be bound by this or that and not going to be, you know, they're just sheep in their own way. Everyone's bound by the modes of material nature and thinking. They're tricked into thinking. That's the democracy trick. You know, you have freedom to elect your own leaders and, you know, really you have the freedom to be manipulated by these people who want you to elect them and who are going to, you know, pull every string they can to get you to do it. And you're thinking, yes, it's a democracy, but you're being preyed upon by people who've done, you know, millions of dollars worth of motivational research. And if I push this button, this guy will do this. If I push that button, the guy will do that. And if I throw his vote away at the end, you know, in an electronic machine or by the various other means, yeah, I'm free to elect my own leaders, but I don't have a voice anyway. There's so much cheating going on. So we think we have a whole lot more freedom than we have. Very, very minute freedom. And really what it comes down to is at least I can think, well, I don't have very much freedom because everything is being, I'm so controlled by the material nature. And, you know, I'm just like helpless. I'm just under Krishna's control. There's not much I can do about it. Okay, now you understand where you are. I thought I was on the top of the heap. I had freedom. I had independence. I could do whatever I want. It's all up to me. Make your own reality. Create your own reality, right? There's that. And really, I'm bound hand and foot by material nature. That's my actual position. And if I don't surrender to Krishna, I'm going to be stuck like this forever.
Self-help, something else.
Yes, self-help, and, you know, develop your this and develop your that. And you're really all just bound. Daivi esha gunamayi, mama maya dhya. Maya is very powerful. And really, mama bhiye prapadyante. Maya me. When we surrender to Krishna, then we can get free from maya. Otherwise, not much hope.
No, someone could use this verse as an argument that they're under full control. Why should they be accountable for any of their actions?
Because I'm a judge, and I'm also under full control of material nature, and material nature dictates to me. Now you go to prison. material, you're just under, helplessly, by material nature, you've been dictated to now rob the Bank of America. Someone else under the modes of nature is dictated to now you arrest this guy. And someone else under the modes of nature is dictated to now send him to jail for 20 years.
It's like a banning dream.
It's corporation.
How to reconcile the statement, previous statement of Krishna, where he says that one cannot stop acting even just for like a moment, and here like it says that actually only material nature acts.
They're totally consistent. Mm-hmm. Because you're so much under the material nature, you can't stop acting even for a moment. You have to act. And not only you have to act, but you have to act according to the modes that you've acquired. That was Jatatishtha Nyakarmika. Where was that?
Somewhere in the beginning of the chapter.
Yeah. Let's find the suggestion. Nahi kashchit kshanamapi Jatatishtha Nyakarmika. Karyatehi avasha karma sarva prakriti jargonai. It's an exact fit. Text 5. Even for a moment, one can't stop acting. He has to act. Avasha, what's avasha? Great memories, you guys. Avasha?
Helplessly.
Helplessly, one has to act. Sarva prakriti jargonai. According to the qualities that he's picked up from material nature. So the same thing is being said here. He's thinking he's free. He's thinking, I'm doing everything. But actually he's just acting helplessly. Just like if you look, a dog is not saying, well, I think it would be wise for me to bark right now. Your material nature dictates to him, okay, bark. All right, okay, chase bone, goes chasing. And the material, you know, the human beings, so-called, same thing. Now bark at your neighbor, hey! Now chase that girl, hi, sweetie. You know, they think that they're doing something, just acting freely, but they're not. Even especially those who are thinking that they're acting most freely because they're breaking all social conventions and morality is, you know, for sissies and, you know, religion is for jerks and, you know, man is what he makes himself to be and, you know, I can do whatever I want. He's like completely bound up. I'm thinking I can do whatever I want. Maya's putting all this stuff in his head. Hey, you're free, you can do whatever. Okay. Very interesting way to look at the world. Yeah.
An example comes to my mind. Like, we go to the restaurant and there are 50 different preparations on the menu. And hey, I have a freedom to choose whatever I want. You know, I have unlimited free will, I can choose whatever I want. But my free will is limited by the restaurant manager who put down the menu. I cannot order some Mexican dish or, I don't know, Indian dish. Whatever is in the menu, I can choose from that. But my free will is limited by the will of the restaurant manager.
Even that, but even you go into the restaurant, according to the modes of nature you acquired, someone's going to order the, you know, the super hot, super salty, super sweet, super rich, super... You know, someone that's going to say, oh, you know, give me something simple and mild. Someone else is going to say, hey, they don't got any meat here, let's find another restaurant.
And also you can order something that's still not too... Maybe there will be no issue.
Yeah, you can order something and your order not be followed. It's not like you were in charge. Anyway, we could give so many examples, but yes? Should we have
any? I have another question.
Question.
This is
like material nature offering. To the living entity, different.
Loud.
The material nature offering the living entity different species of life, as per his guna and karma. So, and we go through this 8,400,000 species. And do we go into this evolutionary process even in the human when we come to the 400,000 human species? And if so, then where do we?
As far as I understand, in the human species, we have a little more choice, and according to how we use that choice, we go up, we go down, we move around. You use your choice. Urdhvam gacchanti sattvasta, madhyay tishtanti rajasa, dhanya guna vritista, dho gacchanti tamasa. According to how we act, we'll go up or down. Animals always go up. The human beings can go up, down, or stay in the middle.
Which is the highest ladder of human beings?
What's the highest level? Well, Brahma is considered like top, most pious living being. The demigods are considered, you know, very pious. But from another angle of vision, this is the place where the karma can be performed for getting credit or going down. And the hellish planets, all you can do is work off your sinful reactions. And the heavenly planets, all you can do is spend your punya. But here, we can work in such a way that we can make progress and finally go back to Godhead. So this human life on Earth is considered very fortunate.
So it is not necessarily that we will go up the ladder of human evolution throughout all the 400,000.
No, we can go down. We may not even have another human birth. You know, one human birth, misuse it, go down to the lower species of life. It's not like, yes, guaranteed progress, more progress. You can go down also.
You can go directly to go to this place.
I don't understand this argument. It says that you can choose what is only there on the...
Loud, double loud.
How to understand the argument from this problem? That you can choose what is on the menu card. Only that.
I don't know, it's his argument. Well, let's look at it. First of all, you know, we have unlimited choices, but we don't, you know. Say I'm, you know, I got $50 in my pocket, I can't choose. Well, I think I'd like to go to Paris. You know, material nature constricts you. You know, I think I'd like to be a football star. You know, it's like, great, I can dream, but it's not likely that, you know, a skinny 57-year-old man is going to become a football star. So just because of your physical embodiment, right away you're limited. You can't, out of those unlimited choices, now you really only have a few. Now your mind is there for the limitation. You know, I think I'd like to be an atomic physicist. Yeah, okay, but you have the stuff. Then, more narrow. I think I'd like to be a scholar, but I can't sit down for 10 minutes because I'm so passionate. I have to rush off here, I have to rush off there. You see people, you know, they sit for a study course or something, but they're like, you know, they're antsy because they don't have that nature. Or you know, like it's mentioned that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was challenged by the Patans. He was traveling with a Bengali guy and a Rajasthani, a devotee from Rajasthan, a devotee from Bengal, maybe somebody else, his personal servant. And the Patan soldiers, you know, what are you guys doing here? And I think it was in relation to the Patans. And the Bengali began, whoa. You know, skinny little Bengali guy, you know, all of a sudden these big Punjabi soldiers or something are on the scene, it's like, whoa. And the Rajasthani guy, you know, who's like a Rajput kind of a character, said, you know, I have, you know, five divisions of soldiers waiting, and, you know, you're like, you're surrounded, and you guys better be good to us, otherwise, I, you know, I'll call them right now. You know, they had different natures that they'd inherited from their contact with material existence, a particular body, a particular... So they acted accordingly. Even, you know, someone becomes rich, someone becomes... It's like programmed in already. Like Prabhupada said, you're American, you'll have a certain standard of facility wherever you go. Not because your government's going to do it, but because you have a certain karma. You know, British or American or whatever, you'll, wherever you go, you'll get a certain standard of life just because that's your karma. I gave the example of one of our devotees. He dropped out of school, joined the Hare Krishna movement, lived as a brahmachari, did all that stuff, then got married and started a business, and, you know, became a million-dollar business right away. Why? Because he's a Marwadi. Marwadi is the business community, one business community here in India that's just like, their karma is to be successful.
Oh, okay.
Radha Jivan, exactly. Yeah. Their karma is to be materially very, very successful. So, you know, naturally, he started a business, it became a $1 million business. I have another friend, same thing happened. He wasn't, you know, a NISKCON devotee or anything, but he was sent to school, and he ran out of money, and, you know, was like at the bottom. So he saw some little business opportunity, started it, and later dropped out of school because the business became too big. He became a multi-million-dollar business. So, and then somebody else, he's like a loser. Every time, I have one godbrother. He, you know, he has a karma for automobiles. He'll fall asleep at the wheel, or, you know, he'll bang into someone, or, you know, it's like, this guy should never drive a car. Finally, what was the ultimate thing that happened? He was parked somewhere, and someone banged into him. If it's your karma, you could even be parked and they'll bang into you.
Yeah.
That's how it is. You know, we think we have all these choices. And it's programmed. It's programmed. Now a certain amount of... that. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj told him that, what is that? Sukham... Sukham... Aikantikam Daitya. Because you have this body, a certain amount of happiness is going to come to you. What's the evidence? A certain amount of distress comes. You're not standing on line for it. You weren't begging for it, and it came anyway.
Too
certain amount of happiness will also come of its own accord. You're thinking, yeah, you know, because I tried and I worked and I this and I that. Yeah, real story is, it's destined to happen anyway. You did a certain amount of work because, you know, that's what you were programmed to do, and the result was programmed to come. The amount of freedom that we have is grossly overestimated. The child is born, it's dependent on the mother. I think that I'll be a physicist. Well, you just have no freedom, all you can do is cry. But by nature's arrangement, you've taken birth someplace. By nature's arrangement, your mother is there. Mother's milk is there, mother's protection is there. you're helpless, but some, or by nature's arrangement, she dies or takes off. Mm-hmm. You know, how much, it's what? How much free will do we have in the circumstance? So later circumstances, they may be more complex. It seems like we have a lot more scope. Really tiny. Last question on this point, because I want to move ahead.
Is that really karma or is it destiny?
Karma and destiny, what's the difference?
Can that karma change?
Can karma change?
Yes.
Yeah, how?
By
Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it's practically set. People are just living out the script. And part of the script is, I can do whatever I want. I have independence. No one can tell me what to do. Boom. Good, you're right. Let me kick you again.
But pious activities also can be a little bit changed. By pious activities?
Pious activities, part of the script. It's just the, you know, now you become the hero of the script for 5 minutes. And then you screw up and you become down in the pits again.
Also, like when you have bad karma, we can counteract it by pious activities.
Huh? That's like...
Result.
That's described in the 13th chapter. That's so complicated, it's like a big banyan tree. You were thinking that by, I did this, now I'll counteract that with that. Now I'm here, you know, it's like I'll do this and I'll do that, and at the end I'll reach the finish line and I'll be happy and I'll be rich and I'll be contented and I'll be this and I'll be that. And usually what you are is screwed.
Yeah, the 15th.
Or you're not usually always what you are screwed, because you have to take another body, maybe as a demigod, maybe as a dog, maybe as a human being. Because even when we think, well, let me be a demigod, it's so much cleaner. Still you have to take birth again. All of these ideas of counteracting one karma with another karma just keep us in the material world.
Our desires will always stay in the heart.
Desire will always be there. Just a question of what kind of desire. Now it can be desire to serve Krishna, or it can be some desire to serve Maya, or be served by Maya.
No, I mean that by this pious activity, this desire cannot be purified.
There's a whole discussion about that in Srimad Bhagavatam, right?
I think it's Bhagavad Gita also. Somewhere.
But especially you come to Bhagavatam in connection with the Jamil at the beginning. There's this whole discussion before Jamil's Charitra. This discussion is there about pious activities. And the idea of getting purified by performing prayaschitta or pious activities, atonement. You know, I'll do this, but I'll cancel it. I've done this, but I can cancel it by that.
Deceit, isn't it?
You know, if I wear a blue stone on my third finger, that'll cancel out that. And if I wear this, it'll do that. And if I do a yajna, you know, mrityunjaya, this whatever it is, mantra, that'll counteract this. And I'll do this and counteract that, but really I'm bound hand and foot by Maya. Because I'm still in the material context. Until I move out of the material context, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going up, I'm going down, I'm going up, I'm going down. Shall we move on?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, no, we can't. We have no freedom. Yeah, that's the way it goes. You think you're making progress and all of a sudden you're out of time.
Krishna controls us by time.
Huh? All you can do, we'll just tell you, here's the conclusion, here's all you can do. Mayi sarvani karmani sanyas yad yat machetasa nirashir nirmamo bhutva yud yashva vigatajra. Just dedicate all of your work to Krishna, with full knowledge of Krishna, without desire for profit, without false proprietorship, without feverishness or lethargy, just act in Krishna consciousness. That's where we'll pick up tomorrow.
Jai.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhu, the MIAT Parikrama this week is going to Jagannath Temple, And we have His Holiness Jayadvaita Swami, we have His Holiness Kadamakananda Swami, we have Jananivas Prabhu, and we have Pankajangri Prabhu. My question is, how many of you will be able to come? Because we need to know how many people to arrange prasadam for. So if I can get a show of hands, then I can mention... Yeah, Saturday, we're going to leave here around 10 o'clock, and it'll commence over there at 10:30. So please give me a show of hands to see how many people... Okay.
I'm bound by the laws of material nature. I can't go.
What's this?
My family.
I thought so. No.
I have to suffer because of suffering.
This is to save me an extra.